We're doing Mein Yaakov. We're up to page Kuf Zayin in the standard editions. That's the page after 212. And the Talmud was giving different interpretations to the words Hasketu Shema Yisrael. God tells Israel, "Hearken, hear, Israel. Today you've become a nation." And the Talmud asked, "Why? What's it talking about?" So Davar Acher. We're up to the fourth wide line. Davar Acher. Hasketu Shema Yisrael. Katetu Atzmechem al Divrei Torah. The verse is saying, grind yourself over the words of Torah. Put yourself to work over it. What does that mean? Kidresh Lakish, like Resh Lakish taught. Who was Resh Lakish? Who was Resh Lakish? Who was Resh Lakish? Resh Lakish was the top bandit, right? He had a group of bandits. And he was the top thief. But that was the second stage of his life. The first stage of his life, he learned in yeshiva. And then he picked himself up and left yeshiva and went and became a big bandit. And then one day, Rabbi Yochanan, who was Rabbi Yochanan? Compiled the Jerusalem Talmud, had 10 children, and they all died in his lifetime. Extremely beautiful. Rabbi Yochanan, a descendant of Yosef, a disciple of Rabbi Yanai, the Rabbi of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, and Reish Lakish. So, Rabbi Yochanan is swimming across the Jordan. And Resh Lakish comes charging down the mountain and takes a massive leap and crosses the Jordan in one hop. And he's ready to rob Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan sees him and says, "What strength! Wow! Young man, if only you'd apply that strength to Torah." Resh Lakish looks at him and says, "What beauty! Man, if only that beauty would be on a woman." So Rabbi Yochanan looks at him and says, "Well, I got a sister who's even better looking than me. And if you come learn, come back to yeshiva, and I'll convince her to marry you." So Resh Lakish says, "You got a deal." And he comes back to yeshiva to learn. And he becomes the great, massive Resh Lakish. He marries Rabbi Yochanan's sister. And he becomes Rabbi Yochanan's top disciple. Now, one time, Rabbi Yochanan was on his way to learn in yeshiva, and a bunch of bandits robbed him, and he came to yeshiva penniless. And when Resh Lakish heard, he personally got on his horse and charged after the bandits, and came up to them single-handedly and said, "You guys crazy? You're robbing Rabbi Yochanan? What do you think you're doing, Rabbi Yochanan? You can't do that. That's the chief rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan. You be shame on you. Give back the money." So they look at this man, this huge guy. I mean, he used to be a top gangster. He rode out after them, and they're thinking to themselves, "Well, is he for real?" And he's yelling at them, and he says, "You guys, give back that money. What's wrong with you?" So they're a little embarrassed, and they say, "Okay, we'll give you back half the money." So Resh Lakish says, "You're crazy. Half the money? No, you give me back all the money right now. Right now you give me back all that money." And they did. They gave him back all the money, and he brought all the money back to Rabbi Yochanan. There's a story about how Resh Lakish was caught by a bunch of cannibals, and he overtook all of them. So Resh Lakish was a big, big person, but he was huge in Torah. So Resh Lakish took all his strength, all his fervor that he had as a bandit, and applied it in yeshiva, and he became the great Resh Lakish, the top disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. And Resh Lakish taught the following: Damar Resh Lakish, minayin she'ein divrei Torah mitkaimin ela bemi shememit atzmo alea. How do we know this concept that the words of Torah only last in someone who kills himself over the Torah? He puts himself in a beis medrash, and that's his life. There's no life outside that. Shenemaos, the verse says, "Zot haTorah adam ki yamut be'ol." There's a parsha's chukas in the Torah, where the Torah describes the laws of what happens when a person passes away in a tent. What are the laws of defilement? So the parsha begins. The following is the Torah. The following is the general rule. When a man dies in a tent, so then the rules are, and then the parsha goes on. So Resh Lakish said, break up that verse. This is the Torah when a man dies in a tent. Period. Don't continue. You want to know what's the Torah? You got to put yourself in the tent of Torah and die. Nothing else exists. Focus on Torah. So he did it. You know, he came from the big world. He had an iPhone and an iPad, and he had everything, you know, chains and gangs. And he dropped it all and he walked into Beis Medrash and focused on his learning, and he became the great sage, Reish Lakish, quoted on almost every page in Shas. So Reish Lakish said this idea. So the Talmud says that's the idea behind the verse, Hasket Ushma Yisrael, that grind yourself over the words of Torah. It requires a dedication. So that's that level of interpretation. Davar Acher, an alternate pshat, Hasket Ushma Yisrael, Has V'achar Kach Katit. First be quiet, and afterwards grind. Who said that? Know who said that?
First be quiet, and afterwards grind.
I think it was Aristotle.
Who?
Aristotle. I think it was Aristotle who said that when you come to school, you got to spend the first 3 or 4 years without asking a question. First listen. After you've listened for a number of years, then you could start asking. So now the Talmud is offering that interpretation in the verse Hasket. Has, be silent, listen. And afterwards, katet, then grind up, take apart everything they told you. Ask him, what about this? If you got that answer, break it apart. But first, listen. You walk in the first day, you ask a million questions. You can't hear everything all at once. First, you got to listen. You get in a volume of information, then take it apart as best as you can. Ask every question under the sun. So that's an idea that's not, you know, it's not universal to hear. It's an idea that was also expressed in other literature. Yeah. In Hebrew, they call him Aristo. Okay. Kiderava dama rava lolam yilmod adam Torah v'achakach yege. And that's the idea that Rava taught, first cover ground in Torah, then look deeply into it. You can't look too deeply when you don't have breath. You have to have breath of knowledge, cover the ground, and then you could look deeply into it. And you'll notice that's why my classes try to focus on breath of knowledge. The Parsha class tries to cover all of the Parsha. The Navi class tries to cover 5 chapters a night of Navi. I try. I mean, it depends. Guys bog me down with questions. But I think that this is a very important idea. You have to cover ground. After you've covered ground, you have the breadth of knowledge from which to ask all your questions. So that's what Rava also taught. Cover ground and then go deeply into it. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. And by the way, this rule applies in a lot of learning. It applies when you learn Rambam. It applies when you learn Tanakh. It applies when you learn Mishnah. It applies when you learn Talmud. It applies when you learn Halacha. We have another rule that says, Divrei Torah aniyim b'makom echad, ashirim b'makom acher. The words of Torah are impoverished in one place and wealthy somewhere else. Sometimes you start learning something and you tell yourself, how does this work? I can't figure out the answer for this. And suddenly you continue a few tractates, and half a year later, you discover the answer somewhere where you didn't expect it. Well, why couldn't you tell me that back there? You start tractate Shabbos. So you think, the first thing you tell me in tractate Shabbos are, what are the prohibited activities? No, you learn 6 chapters, you get to the 7th chapter, 2nd Mishnah, suddenly boom, here. This is what I needed to know before I started. You'll find this over and over again. And I always wondered about why is that so? Until, about a year ago, last year, I came across a letter by Rav Huttner, where Rav Huttner writes in his letter on Purim, if I'm not mistaken, that this was done on purpose. When the rabbis had to copy down the oral law into written form, so they were concerned that people would stop learning by a teacher. They tried to just get everything from the book. And that wasn't the idea. The idea of the oral law is that you'd learn by a teacher, that you wouldn't just be able to open an art scroll and in 5 minutes figure out everything that's going on. That you'd sit down with a teacher, and over time you'd get it, but then you'd get it really right, accurately right. And in order to ensure that you couldn't just open a Talmud and read it, the rabbis did it that way. That when you open a piece of Talmud, if you don't have either a Rebbe who taught it to you or greater breadth of knowledge, you can't make heads or tails of what's going on. So they purposely did it that way, that the oral law is not written in an orderly form. You got to really work hard to figure out what's going on, and usually you have to learn by someone who learned it before you. or you have to get a tremendous breadth of knowledge, cover a lot of ground, and from that you'll start understanding what's going on. So I had to wait 2 decades with this question before I found the answer. That's the same concept, right? That sometimes you walk around with a question for a long time. 2 years ago, we were walking home from the Kotel, and the guys asked me, what'd you learn today? So I told them, on that day, I found an answer to a question I had for 15 years. Sometimes you walk around with the question for many, many, many years. Just last year, I noticed something in the Kuzari that had been bothering me for 2 decades. 2 decades, I walked around with the question, and I couldn't find someone to address it. And I looked around the commentaries, I couldn't find it. Then I noticed that the Kuzari really does address it. I had never noticed it before. He does it in a roundabout way, but he really answers the question. So sometimes you walk around with the question for a long time, and the oral tradition is not organized in a way where you can just open up a book and say, here, there's an encyclopedia, I got all the answers. Won't work. You can never computerize all the questions and all the answers in an accurate way. You can have a sampling. We have responsa, right? So you could have a sampling. We have the codex. You have a sampling of the laws, but if you really want to master it, you just got to get breadth and cover ground and get tradition. So that's why the idea of learning Torah is always cover ground, then go in depth. Don't try to go in depth without covering ground. Amri de Bei Rabbi Yanai. So now the Academy of Rabbi Yanai, who is Rabbi Yanai? We said he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan, the compiler of the Jerusalem Talmud. So in his academy they said, Mai dichtiv, what does the verse mean at the end of Proverbs? Ki mitz chalav yotzi chema, when you squeeze milk, so you'll get butter. Umitz af yotzi dam, and squeezing the nose produces blood. Umitz apayim yotzi riv, and if you squeeze out people's faces, so then you'll get out a fight. That's the verse. So what's the verse talking about? So it says if you squeeze out milk, you get butter. If you squeeze out your nose, you get blood. And if you squeeze out faces, you get a fight. So what's that going? What's going on here?
Do something that's going to be an obvious reaction. I mean, an obvious effect.
Okay. Okay.
Everybody who's listening, that's for sure.
What? So the Talmud has another level of interpretation. If you want to find the butter of Torah, where are you going to find it? You have to work so hard that you spit out the blood you nursed from your mother over the Torah. So the simple reading of that is you're spitting blood, as they say. You put yourself all out to it. But really, on a philosophical level, there's another concept. You want to understand the truth of Torah. So one of the great difficulties in understanding Torah is that we come with preconceptions. We have our own preconceived notions about what the Torah should say, what we'd like it to say. And when you walk in with your own thoughts and the Torah has to fit to our own partiality, so then what we're really saying is the Torah is limited to what I think is right. You're not going to be smarter than me. So if you're going to walk in with everything you nursed, so then you have the ages where everyone knew women were stupid. So then, of course, the Torah better say women are stupid because everyone knows that. Then you have the ages where everyone knew that blacks were stupid. So then Torah is going to have to say that because everyone knows that. And then you have the generations which everyone knew that women couldn't own land and couldn't do business. So the Torah better say that. And then you have our generation where we know all kinds of other things, which everyone knows that women are the same as men and blacks are the same as whites and no difference in the world. And the Torah better say that. Every generation is convinced that they have the final say. They know. They call themselves modern. We're the postmodern era. We are the final word. Well, it's not that way. You know, just like an interesting example. I remember 15, 20 years ago, I was standing with people and they looked at wedding pictures from 30 years earlier. And they turned to their parents and grandparents and said, how'd you wear those horn-rimmed glasses? Didn't you think you looked like a geek? So of course, by today's standards, they look like a geek. And what do you know? Today people are again wearing horn-rimmed glasses. You know, the same thing that 15, 20 years ago they said was geeky. Today is back in style. Okay, so who's to say what's geeky and what's not? It applies not only to beauty, it applies also to philosophy. So you want to hear what the Torah has to say? You have to be willing to regurgitate everything you've taken in all these years. You have to be willing to come in as a clean slate and hear what the Torah really has to say. Umitz'af yotzi dam, squeezing of the nose produces blood. What does that mean? Kol talmid shekoes alav rabo pam rishona v'shotek. If the first time the Rebbe lets you have it and you're silent and you listen, so then you're going to be able to grow. So this is the second level. One of the hardest things is when someone tells us we're wrong. We live in a generation where everything's done sweetly and nicely, and everyone's rights are protected. But up until about 50 years ago, when they taught Torah, if they thought you were wrong, they told you you were wrong. If they thought you were dumb as a doornail, they told you that. If they thought what you had just said is absolutely ridiculous, they said it. Today we say it nicer, and I'm not sure it's better. We placate everyone. But in those days, they lived by the truth. There was no nonsense. And so that's the story of Yeshu, right? He tells his Rebbe what beautiful eyes the girl has. And his Rebbe looks at him and says, what are you learning Torah for? If you're looking at girls' eyes, what are you doing here for? Right? So he walks out. His Rebbe doesn't want to see him. Says Rebbe went too far because he tried coming back and apologizing once, twice, thrice, and then he went and started worshiping stones and stuff. But the idea that they lived by a truth, okay, so the Rabbeim were on a higher level, they really lived by it, and then they demanded it from the students. So the Talmud says, you know, if someone is willing to accept that, so then Zoche Lavchin ben Dam Tameh LeDam Tahor, he merits to be able to discern one of the hardest things to discern, and that is the different shades of red when it comes to blood, to be able to discern which is pure and which is defiled. Now, that takes a lot of studying. Today we have a similar skill that we study, and to tell the difference between shades takes many, many, many hours of being apprenticing. So the Talmud here again says, the squeezing of the nose, so the nose represents like the anger, the flaring of the nose. If one's willing to squeeze himself and put up with it, so then he's going to ultimately gain from it. He'll learn. Umitz apayim yotzi riv. What does that mean? The Talmud says, kol talmid shekoes alav rabo pam rishona v'shniya v'shotek. So if af, that was singular, that was accepting the anger the first time, apayim is twice, and he's silent and he learns from it, zochel lavchin bedineinim mamonot ledineinim nefeshot. So then he will be able to settle arguments, and he'll be able to discern between cases that involve the death penalty and only involve, and the cases that only involve monetary issues. Okay, detnan detanet be Ishmael rotze shitchakem yasok bedineinim mamonot shenchem mitzav Torah yoter men shen kemayan anoveh. If you want to really be smart, deal in monetary issues, because in Torah, they are like an overflowing spring. So that's that idea. We'll finish over here. The final lines, we're turning the page. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, mai dechtivim, navalta bitnasevim, zamot ayad lapeh. What does the verse mean? If you were, if you became a carcass as you went up, so you'll go up. And if you tried to outsmart things, your hand will cover your mouth. What does that mean? Kol amnabel atzmo al divrei Torah. Whoever makes himself like a carcass, that he's willing to ask again and again and again. So even though his friends are around and they're all laughing and they're saying, come on, don't you get it yet? Isn't that the same as this? And he tries to get everything exactly right. So then, sofol itnasei. He will ultimately be higher than everyone else because he will have verified every question. But that takes a certain personality, if you're willing to do that, to ask and make sure you get it exactly right. Veim zamam, but if he sealed his mouth and he preferred not to seem dumb in front of everyone, so he didn't ask all his questions, so then yad lepe, So then when questions will arise later on, he won't have the tradition. He'll have to put his hand to his mouth. He'll have to say, I don't know. So that's what the verse is referring to. If a person pushes himself to ask every question, so then he'll have a very exact tradition and he'll be able to answer questions no one else will. What did we learn today? What did we learn today? We learned asket u'shma Yisrael, that when it comes to Torah, a person should grind himself in order to grow in Torah, like Reish Lakish. We learned some stories about Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish said, Torah will last in a person that really dedicates himself to Torah. Then we had another pshat, that a person should first be silent, come and learn, cover ground, and then grind what you've learned. Then we brought the different squeezing out that produces different things, and we said the butter of Torah is in someone who can regurgitate all the milk he nursed. The student who's willing to accept his Rebbe's anger will grow in different areas of Torah. And finally we said that a student who takes the time to get an exacting tradition, he will outdo his contemporaries. And a person who chooses to be silent and doesn't ask the questions, so then he's going to find himself silenced when the time comes when questions arise.